And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Graham McMorrow. And today on the show, we're joined by Avon and Somerset Police and representatives from The Bridge.
In a special show today, we tackle the subject of mail rape and put your questions to our panel. So stay with us right here on Shout Out. Ba-dum-bum. There's no Lara. I have to do it this week. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Mitch should have gone for that.
Well, I would have.
So he's got to be unique.
Oh,
it's all right.
You've got to be unique. I can do it again. Shall
you
I
do
it again?
Yeah, hang on. Hang on. Here we go. Do-do-do.
Counter-in. Counter-in, Andy.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
There you go.
Timing.
So, hello, everyone. How are we all?
Hello.
Not bad. We're okay.
Yeah. So, yes. A bit manic out there with traffic-wise, isn't it?
Yes, was a bad accident on the M4 just before the M32 from Bath. And James, one of our members, who also does Queen and Country magazine, was in the accident. He's not injured, but his car's a write-off. So, yeah. he was supposed to be reading the news tonight.
Oh, dear. Hope you're all right, James.
Yeah, hope you're all right, James. That sounds awful, doesn't it?
Yes.
Bit of a shock.
Yes.
Yeah. M4 peak time. Just don't go near it.
Well, that's why I cycle. Doesn't mean I don't have accidents.
I know what I was going to say. It's not any less dangerous on a bike, is it?
Well,
especially if you're on the road.
Bristol's quite good for the cycle tracks, actually, so it keeps you out of the main traffic a lot of the time. But,
And actually they're putting more in as well. It's like on Baldwin Street. Mm. They've just extended the cycle lane a bit more.
Yeah.
You've got to, haven't you? I mean, you're going to be a green capital as part of that part.
Well, we were.
And it's part of that process, I think. It's a kind of, it's that promise. It's a declaration that was created at Chunat.
Yes, it's true, and it needs to, you know, continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I wish they'd hurry up with the Metro bus.
That's not till next April.
No.
Is it not?
Yeah, Don't say that.
It's April. I know. They've got no signed contract yet for the North Bristol section.
But apparently we can build an underground in 10 years.
I know in Eastern it's really, really crazy by the railway track and everything.
Spike Island's a bit of a nightmare too.
The railway station, they've just now made the platform half the size.
Is that what's going on with taking the bridge down?
Yeah, taking the bridge down, and that was a brand new bridge as well. So it's like, where's all this money that we don't have coming from? Well, I don't understand.
I'd just like to say that the bridge is obviously gay, otherwise we would not be mentioning in the show.
The bridge is identified as gender fluid.
Thank you, Mitch.
Swings both ways. Pansexual.
Oh, Tara!
I think that was called, wasn't that years ago called bisexual? Swings both ways. Tara.
I don't know. Well, yeah, but it could be, nowadays, it could be pansexual. I've got visions at the moment
swings
of Ella like shouting. She used to tell us all these things.
That's just slutty, isn't it?
They're taking the bridges down.
Not anybody will do, Steph. It's that you don't mind who you're attracted to.
I shouldn't read the Daily Mail, should I?
No, you really shouldn't.
Not sure.
I'm never talking to you again.
Toxic for your brain.
I'm not sure an inanimate object has a sex either, does it? It's a bridge. A bridge is a bridge.
Yeah, that's English. If it was a different language, you would have a. Yeah.
The hardest thing about learning languages at school, wasn't it? Remembering what the gender of everything was.
Yeah. What pronoun to use.
Yeah.
But tonight, this evening, we've got quite a difficult show.
Yes.
What we need to do is make sure that the listeners are aware that it is a very sensitive subject.
Yeah.
So we've got Avon and Somerset Police coming in.
We have,
to talk about mail rape, which is something that
And the Bridge project. We've got Lorraine from the Bridge.
SARC.
which is a support network as well. So, but yes, it is worth pointing out. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us talktous@shoutoutradio.lgbt, and it will come straight through to us. Obviously, please do that only if you're listening live. If you're listening on one of our stations that repeats the show, apologies. But if you would like to, you can put the question to us. We can always get them answered.
Yeah. So if you are listening on Glastonbury FM and Gloss FM, which will be 9 o'clock, so you do listen to it delayed.
Yes, and Base Radio.
Base Radio is Fridays, and Bradley Stoke Radio is Saturdays.
Yes, yes.
Right. Okay.
So it's Froome, BCFM, and Pirate Nation Radio live. That are live. So hello to everybody, by the way. So we don't often say hello to everyone at the moment, do we?
No.
I blame it on Steph, personally.
That's why I'm here.
I got asked by a young person to give a shout out to Tyler out there.
Hey,
Tyler. And shouting out to all the other young people that I work with. You know who you are.
Cool.
But Tyler asked me specifically, so I'm saying hi to him.
So, hello, Tyler.
Thanks, Andy.
I don't know Tyler, do I?
No, not yet.
No. I know Tara.
You know Tara.
I know Tara.
Hello.
We know Tara.
And it's time. Can we get some events?
Yeah, we can go to some events.
So, Outshout, our pick of the best events coming up in the next week or so. What are we kicking off with, Tara?
Yeah, well, the first one we given was the TEDx Kingston upon Thames 2018. It's amazing.
TEDx?
Yeah, I actually read through it, and it is absolutely amazing.
That's the talks, isn't it?
They're throughout the world all the time, and I assume these are going to be recorded, so they'll actually be available on the TED app and on TED on the YouTube. You can access it through at any time. They're amazing. You can
Here in Bristol or something then?
No, this one's the Kingston upon Thames one. There was one in Bristol at December time.
Right. Mm.
But yeah, so this is out of order. And as it suggests, it's out as in, and it covers the most amazing things. So there's challenges to Middle Eastern myths, which I assume that's about race and all the rest of it there.
Yeah.
And then there's, could a four-year-old change the world? Now that sounds fascinating. Now, I guess the one that really sprang to my mind was Life with a Man's Voice. Living life with a man's voice has forced Lorraine to tackle what it really means to be her. So that's really interesting.
Yes. Mainly I asked Tara to suggest it because we are performing there as the Short and Girlies.
Oh.
And one of our gender fluid members is doing a talk on gender and performance.
So that's Ali Hannan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, how do we perform gender?
Wee Ali.
Oh, she's Scottish, is she?
No. She's like, we just call her we call her Little Ali.
But
she's really not.
That's because you're in tartan, isn't it, mate?
That's because I'm in the tartan, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tara.
No, that's all right. I'll put it down. It's a good colour, isn't it? Tartan?
Yes.
More than one.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
you're lucky. She could have been offended and thought you'd taken the Mickey out of Tara's.
I am a Celt.
It's not my tartan, anyway. I'm not worried.
I am a Celt. Yeah. So
it's blue and green. Yeah.
So that's going on in London.
Yeah. And I know it's Kingston upon. I mean, that's 2.5 hour drive, two and a half hour drive.
Ouch.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah,
but actually, looking at the fun, full pack day it is, it's just amazing. So you can find information on Facebook at TEDx Kingston. They're going to have a Twitter, which is TEDx Kingston. And they've even got Instagram. So registration 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And it goes all the way through to 7 p.m. And that's just really amazing, really, for a day. There. So, advice is to phone the box office to get tickets. If not, you can actually go on the reservation list for it. Yeah, and the box office is 020-8174-0090. Just in case you want to go and do that one. That is fantastic.
Great.
A heads up for LGBT Adoption and Fostering Week, which is the 5th to the 11th of March. Now, they want you to get involved now. We are having them on the show in March during that week. But you need to go to the website to get involved, newfamilysocial.org.uk/LGBT2018, and use the hashtag proud to adopt or hashtag proud to foster. And also, welcome to a new local radio station that's starting up in Weston and Wirral. Weston and Wirral Community Station are about to start this week, and no doubt Shout Out will be carried on that station.
Excellent.
So good luck. We'll break a bottle of champagne across her bows, I guess.
Yes.
And Tara.
No violence, please.
Tara's bows.
She might bruise.
No, I can defend myself. Don't worry. Yeah.
Good luck.
I think there's one more, which was Swarm, which you knew more about than I do.
Yes, it is Swarm, Southwest Rubbermen. It is their third birthday this coming Saturday. It is a social event for people who like rubber. You don't even have to be male. It doesn't really matter. So, but they have Dave the Bear coming along, who we're hopefully going to get on Shout Out. He is a male burlesque dancer, which is very rare.
A bear in rubber, not furry.
Burlesque.
Who makes that? Is it a furry bear or a rubber bear?
Well, look him up. Dave the Bear.
Okay, I'm on it.
They got him, and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will be there running a quiz as well.
Them.
And they've got loads of goodies to give away. So it's from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. And it usually carries on way after, but that's the official hours that's going on. And it's at the Palace here in Bristol. So that's over in Old Market. So 4 o'clock, completely free. Only condition is you must be over 18, obviously, because it is a venue that sells alcohol.
And be respectful.
Yeah, be respectful.
And what day is it?
It's on Saturday.
Okay.
Right, thank you, Andy, for doing Outshout for us.
Oh, my pleasure. I very often do
it. Team event, isn't it? Team event, that's what it's all about.
Cool. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. Probably doesn't even need an introduction, that one, does it? That's the Cranberries with a zombie.
Tragic.
Of course, we're playing that because Dolores O'Riordan very sadly passed away on the 16th of January, aged 46. So.
Yeah, so young. And tragic.
Yeah, they haven't announced why either yet, so it's not known, but not presumed to be anything bad or nasty. So.
Well, blessed be.
Yeah, were you a Cranberries fan?
I was very much a Cranberries fan, actually.
Yeah,
just loved the fact that they all sang, and they really maintained a Irish kind of roots. So they sounded
different, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'm really bad as well, because I'm the generation that loved the clubby dance version of that one. That was also in the charts at the same time. So, but anyway, that's for that. Before we start our next interview, we will put out a warning that it is a bit of a difficult subject that we're going to be talking about, because we're talking about the subject of male rape. If you would like to get in touch with us, the address is talktous@shoutoutradio.lgbt. We will obviously, as we always do, put links on our website after the show if you need more info. But I'm very pleased to welcome back to Shout Out Mike Stephen.
Yes, hello. Good evening. Good evening.
And you're here from Avon and Somerset Police, for those that, of course, I know you. I should say that, shouldn't I? Give it a bit of clarity, Andy. Lorraine is here from The Bridge. Hello and welcome to you.
Good evening.
We're coming. Well, should we start off, first of all, with a kind of, because I think everyone knows what Avon and Somerset Police is, but they may not know what The Bridge is. So should we start with you? And can you give us kind of like an idea of what The Bridge is?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Bridge is commissioned by the NHS. Essentially help anybody who has been affected by rape or sexual assault to access emotional, practical, medical, and all other types of support, including potentially, if they were to support, they were to receive support or make a report to the police. We work very closely with the police, but we are completely separate from the police. And I used to work as a crisis worker, so I was directly supporting individuals who had made disclosures of sexual harm. And now I work in an outreach role.
Right.
Cool. Now, one of the first questions that we thought we would start off with is, and I don't know which of you particularly wants to answer this one, but how do we define what rape is?
Yeah, specifically male rape.
Yeah. So, again, it's exactly the same as the broader definition. So it's insertion of the penis into the vagina, anus or mouth. That part is exactly the same. The only difference, say, in the UK compared to the US is the fact that under current legislation, a female cannot rape a male. A female cannot rape a male. Sorry.
In the UK?
Pardon?
In the UK, that
yes,
is.
But the US are ahead of the UK as far as progressing things for male victims.
Right, okay. It's slightly sidelined, but is that something that is changing here then? Is there something they're trying to put through Parliament to change that law?
Yeah, I've certainly heard nothing at this time, but right. I think there is a changing shift. It is something that's going to take time, but there is definitely a changing shift, certainly along the lines of more recognition that men can be victims of rape, sexual assault, and domestic abuse and violence as well.
Mm. Right.
Mm. So do you think that this is also an issue for heterosexual men as well to be considered?
Absolutely. And one thing I always say is that this is not a gay crime. This does not only affect gay men. 9 times out of 10, the perpetrator identifies as heterosexual, and anybody can be a victim mm-hmm. of rape or sexual violence.
And also at the bridge where we receive referrals from the police and also referrals from individuals confidentially, a great many, and I think the majority of the males who do disclose identify currently as being heterosexual. Often it can be about historic childhood abuse or it can be assaults that have occurred much more recently. It is rape and sexual abuse happens to anybody.
If you've had something happen to you, I would imagine that the most common reaction is, it's really scary, I don't know what to do, I don't know who to talk to, and quite often, and I mean, I know you're a lovely guy, but the police can be the most scariest thing in the world to think about when you're in that kind of situation. Is the police supposed to be the first place of your first port of call to report it, or should they be looking for more support from places like the bridge?
Well, I think choice is really, really important. Access to the right information and choice, and particularly when somebody has had something done to them without their free consent, being able to choose and be informed afterwards is quite healing, and it's a very important part of the process. SARCs like ourselves were set up because we know that generally in the population only about 15% of people report to the police. SARCs are a single point of access to a developed and a very supportive system that in different ways helps to empower people, helps them to get right. confidential support if they need it, and to gradually, stage by stage, pick up as much support as they need. And then if they want to discuss and be supported in reporting to the police through various different choices.
So is it the age? I mean, are you on the end of the phone, or is it something that you can walk in and talk to you people? Or
it's both. Right. There's a range of ways that people can access our service. So we have a telephone line, and I can give the number out later. And that telephone line, you can call available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, if you've experienced an assault recently. If it was historic or, you know, after a week or so, we would ask that you phone between 9 and 5, just so that the crisis line is open in the evening for those very serious or more acute recent cases. Our website, we've got a really great and really inclusive website where you can go on and select a pathway that is right for you and your individual situation and your identity, that provides you advice and offers information, secure email, you can email anonymously, or you can just turn up at the SARC, and there will always be somebody there between 9 and 5 Monday to Friday, and there are certain hours at the weekend as well where we can arrange for someone to be there.
Do you think it's really problematic for people to especially males to report a rape? Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what problems they come to you with?
Yeah, I think certainly from a police perspective, that reporting, there's all these perceived barriers out there, taboos, myths, that deter people from coming to us. From the LGBT's perspective, I think part of what I believe is that if you are of a certain age and you're from the era where it was illegal to be gay, 50s going into the 60s, then that may have given you a lasting impression of the police, which I completely understand. But what I always try and do is kind of try and get people to realise that actually
it's moved on a long way.
Absolutely. It wasn't the police, it wasn't the individual officers, perhaps their mentality. It was the law that was being upheld at that time. Yeah. And significantly we've moved on so much.
Yeah. I mean, I know from experience that if you walk into the police station and you have an issue and you say you're LGBT or any of the others on the spectrum, the police don't treat you any differently.
Absolutely not.
So I'm assuming also, I mean, obviously we're saying that you could go to the bridge, but you could just walk into a police station and say, I need some help, something's happened and I've been raped.
Absolutely. And again, we would take those initial details from you, but again our priority would be to direct the individual to the bridge. In most cases we would take that individual to the bridge ourselves,
right,
with an assigned officer, whether that be one of our first response officers or whether it be one of our DCs from our investigations team.
Right.
So the bridge is a very much go-to place for that kind of support,
yes,
as well. And
quite interesting. Your own opinion can be formed from some of the stereotypical things you see on TV, and you go back on some of the films and some of the series that we've had on TV. Someone reporting a rape, you usually find that it's portrayed by something nasty, like you're in a police station and you have to strip and you have to have this, that, and that's not the case, is it? You would actually take them to the bridge and the more kind of counselling type of. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, there is obviously a forensic procedure, but it is carried out by a clinician, and Lorraine will be able to give us some more information on that process.
Right.
Yeah, so there is a forensic procedure that is available to individuals if they choose, and if it's, you know, if they're able to go through with it at that time. What we would do at the bridge is that an individual would be met by one of our specialists who would listen very carefully to what they had to say. So if the police brought someone here, we would be listening very carefully to what they say, and we would be looking to understand what their most immediate concerns were, and we would provide them with advice about what choices and options were available to them.
Right.
People can, if they wish, bring a loved one or a partner or sometimes a professional support worker with them. That's absolutely fine. And then we would be, after that, we would be looking at, you know, would you like to have counselling, which males can access for free from the bridge if they live in the Avon and Somerset Force area and they've ever experienced sexual harm, then they may be eligible for our counselling service. We can offer them just practical advice. We can listen And then if they are interested, we can offer them an assessment of immediate healthcare needs. So if there's any concern about exposure to HIV or hepatitis B, that can be assessed by a clinician. And then if they wish to, they can also have intimate samples taken, which may be helpful in a police investigation.
I'm going to ask that because the first thing that I would think was would be how invasive is that?
Well, it can be as invasive as the individual chooses. So
right.
They can choose to consent to the procedure. If at any stage they want to withdraw that consent for all or any part of it, that's absolutely fine.
I'm guessing the reason that that we want to get it done is because it gives you that extra amount of evidence so that when we come to the later on stages, which I presume is trying to get a successful prosecution, if you've got that, it's a huge help.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Mike might correct me from his perspective. I think it can be a really huge help. It can depend on how the investigation unfolds, I think, in terms of how that develops. And like any other aspect of it, the forensics are an important part of that. Particularly as well, if you had somebody who was a stranger rape, then it can be, obviously, you've got that evidence that that person was there doing that at that time. But often we find that in the majority of cases, assaults occur by somebody that the individual knew. And then that can be, you know, that can be a bit more complex. The forensics, they can be a really, really good thing to do, but they're not all of it. So if somebody felt like, you know, they didn't want to do that, that it was too much after what they've been through, that's absolutely fine. And the police can sometimes be really successful at getting evidence from clothing or from bed linen, even if it's been washed. So we would, if a client is interested in the forensics, we would encourage them and support them in that. But if they felt they couldn't do that, then not to worry.
Well, that's, I'm picking up on a very nice kind of, you know, it sounds like the most important thing is the person and their state above all else. So, I mean, can we just touch on some of the kind of concerns people have? Because I'm sure there'll be people listening thinking, well, if I was in that situation, I'd be worried about this or that. I mean, we touched on things like, you know, HIV and AIDS. I mean, it's not gone away as an issue, but we do have some things like PEP. I know we talked about it just outside the studio. A lot of people have concerns about things like that? Or
yes, people often do have concerns, very much would have concerns about exposure to HIV. Fortunately, generally, the risk of exposure is less than people commonly think.
Right.
But it is something that does need to be very carefully assessed by a clinician. And you can access that assessment at the SARC. You can also access it through A&E if you needed to. If you have been exposed to a sexual assault, it's really important to get that assessment as soon as possible. The maximum window is 72 hours, but the sooner the better definitely the advice, because I think the effectiveness is thought to be much better.
Yes. Regular listeners will know it's something we've covered in quite a lot of depth, and the show's still up there on our players if you want to have a look. But yeah, certainly with PEP, they recommend within 24 to 48 hours. The longer you leave it, the less effective it will be. And it's probably quite a hard thing, because if you're worrying about everything that's gone on, you know, you might be a bit too worried to do things like that, but it is well worth it if you have any doubts at all.
You can come to the bridge confidentially, and if you just, for example, wanted the prophylaxis, which is another word for PEP or PrEP, then that's all that, you know, we can just give you that, and that's fine. Or if you do want to look at the other things as well, that's fine too.
So is there a ongoing help that's available? I would imagine it's not just over and done within 5 minutes. It's something that's going to last quite a while, isn't it? Do you have people that are regularly coming back for counselling?
Yes, we can do it. If that's something that an individual is interested in, then we can refer them to our counselling service. So essentially what would happen is that after they have either spoken to us on the telephone, in person, or in a forensic medical, we would usually conduct a follow-up call to make sure they were okay. If they have chosen to agree to what we could call a care plan, where they might agree to referral to a specialist organisation, then we would ensure that, you know, that see if they've accessed that care plan. You know, have they managed to access their first appointment? And if they've accessed, if they've selected counselling, our counselling waiting lists at the moment are under 2 months. So they would have what we call their initial appointment within 2 months. And then they would have access to very high quality specialist therapeutic support by people who are specialists in sexual assault and sexual trauma. At the Bridge, our counsellors are all specialists. We don't have volunteers, although not to say that volunteers aren't fantastic in lots of ways, but they're all specialists in the field rather than generic practitioners. Right.
But I'm guessing there's still some advice to say, you know, if you can, also talk to a friend or family or a loved one as well, because they can be a huge help on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And we also offer a counselling service for loved ones because the impact of sexual assault, it is social, and this is support that's over a slightly shorter period to help loved ones help themselves about how they feel and know how they can support that person as well. And an individual can also, if they want, access the support of something called an ISVA. ISVA stands for Independent Sexual Violence Advisor. If somebody, even if someone's not interested in reporting to the police, they can access support from an ISVA for a time limited period. Practical advice, advice about work, housing. But if they are even thinking about reporting to the police, they are a fantastic source of support for that as well.
That's great.
Steve, what kind of percentage of cases go to court? Sorry.
Mike. Yes. What percentages of rape?
I knew who you meant.
What's the percentages?
Okay. Well, I can't give you specifics, unfortunately. But what I can tell you is that Avon and Somerset alone, as we stand at the moment, so where we are in January, we have progressed 100 reports of male rape or sexual violence. So that's where we are with our reports, which I'm pleased to see have increased since we started the overall push around this subject matter. And then on top of that, we've had some really successful prosecutions over the last year. I'm sure most people will remember Nigel Wilkinson, the Facebook photographer. Again, multiple victims there. pardon me.
Yes, that was quite a nasty case, that one.
It was. You know, that particular incident was somebody who, you know, for intents and purposes, had a thing about gym fit straight guys. We would invite them down for a photographic shoot, kind of, you know, muscles and et cetera, et cetera. But then would go on from that and take them out for a few drinks, intentionally get them drunk, and then bring them back to his place and,
assault them.
Yeah. And he's been successfully prosecuted.
He has, yes. And then there was another incident, Adam Beeney, again, who was a younger male. He sexually violated an elderly male. Again, another successful prosecution there. And I think, again, a lot of that was down to the strength of the victims in coming forward to us, which, again, I think is fantastic. You know, we are the police at the end of the day, so we don't necessarily get that kind of positive feedback of, oh, we've seen everything you're doing around male rape, and that really encouraged me. But I, as an individual, I'm really encouraged when I hear people or services like The Bridge who are seeing significant increases. We've got other counselling services as part of our partner agency network. Unfortunately, whilst they have seen increases, that has now caused delays of 6 to 8 months in people receiving perhaps the counselling they need. But then we have to remember that all these external agencies are charitable associations, and obviously they rely on funding and donations.
So a lot of the, there's a lot, you know, a lot more services out there that you're talking about, and that seems to be something, I think, what Andy was touching on as well, about that people want to see some kind of outcome, don't they? They want to see,
they must give them closure.
Yes. If you're going to report something, you want to know what's going to happen
and
beyond
feel safe. I'm guessing that's one of the big things. If you have a successful prosecution for the victim, it could make them feel a lot safer because that person's no longer on the street and no longer going to come anywhere near them.
Absolutely. But it's also about that journey through as well.
Right.
So not only when, you know, they first report to police, do we want to make sure that we give them the, you know, a first-class service, and that we listen to them, we believe them, we respect them as an individual, we're not judging who they are or where they've been. And literally from that first point of contact, whether we then go to the first stage, the bridge, and then obviously it's a gateway to other services, including counselling, or whether they then pick up with their ISVA, and then they are carried through the whole duration. So they will either have the ISVA, the external counselling services, the bridge, and possibly a victim witness care as well. If the matter was to go to court, they would have somebody with them, male or female. That service is there for all.
So that's a good, that's a good explanation of the map, almost, of the route for them to know that this is what's going to happen, and they've got some safety nets there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, just out of interest, have you seen a rise in things to do with chemsex and that playing a part in issues coming through?
Okay, I'll start off on that. Yeah, from a policing perspective, we haven't seen any major increase as yet because we're not asking the identifying questions.
Right.
So again, that's all to do with barriers as well, that perhaps we do need to be a little bit more probing in the questions we ask as to how something has occurred. But at the same time, it has to be balanced with how the victim is presenting and the information that they're willing to give. And we understand that.
Well, that leads into a very good question. If someone has been a victim and they've been experimenting with drugs, if they come in to report something, are they also going to get in trouble because they might have been doing drugs and they perhaps shouldn't have been?
Yeah, absolutely not. Our first and foremost is the fact that they've been raped or sexually assaulted, particularly in, say, a chemsex arena. We are aware that it is a vulnerable environment. There is significant work going on in London at the moment through 56 Dean Street. And here in Avon and Somerset, whilst we do have our collection of partner agencies, we will be launching this year under a brand name of Network Supporting Male Survivors. And actually, chemsex is something that myself and Lorraine are going to be picking up through this year, looking at developing that and how that fits within with our holistic service provision.
Cool.
We've got one of the leading clinicians coming down to Bristol from 56 Dean Street, who's going to basically pass over his worldly knowledge around that subject matter, particularly because he's an NHS clinician. So again, it's going to give us a lot of indications of what are the London NHS hospitals and trusts looking at that perhaps we can then replicate here.
Right, cool. Because I know it's something that we've touched on before, because there's a perceived rise in the use of it here in the West as well. So, listen, we're rapidly running out of time. It is one of those subjects that I'm sure is going to raise even more questions. What would be lovely to do, if you would be up for it, is to get you back on in, say, 6 months or so, or when you've been doing some more work, or especially around things like chemsex, and hopefully we can put even more questions to you that the audience have posed, and catch up with you on how that's going as well.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to.
In the meantime, thank you both. If people want to find out more, because it's going to raise questions, there may be someone listening who's like, yes, actually, I could really do with talking to Lorraine or one of her colleagues. Where's the best place for them to go?
So I would suggest that you either phone the bridge between 9 and 5 if you're not in crisis. If you're in crisis, phone anytime, 0117 342 6999. Alternatively, please have a look at our website. If you type into your internet browser, "The Bridge Can Help," you will find the link, and then it will just guide you through what you need to know.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Avon and Somerset.
We do have information around male rape on the webpage. You would need to search it in the newsroom just by typing in male rape. But equally, we have the non-police branded website, This Is Not an Excuse, which carries information for both men and women. And signpost into services.
Cool. Yeah, and obviously, age old, if something's happening right now and you're in danger, pick up the phone, dial 999. So, listen, thank you to both of you so much.
We really appreciate you coming and talking to it.
Stay with us. News headlines up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out podcast.
Believe it or not, that's Craig David, that one.
With good old Craig David.
I quite like some of his stuff.
It's called I Know You.
He got a bad press a little while ago, didn't he?
Well, I like Bastille, and it's with Bastille.
Yeah, I like Bastille.
Cool, so. So very interesting talk, that one, wasn't it? What did you guys think?
I thought it was very sensitively handled by both Mike and Lorraine, and you guys as well. Absolutely brilliant. And there was so much information there that I'm sure a lot of people didn't.
I'm so sorry I called him Steve.
I'm sure
that's his surname.
He won't mind.
He
won't mind. I'm sure a lot of people will be very grateful for the information that we've put out tonight.
Yeah, and that will go out on the podcast as well. So
of course.
Anyway, the guys are here, so shall we get some news headlines?
Of course. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 18th of January.
BBC Radio 1 reports in its popular Newsbeat programme that the issue of music venues closing down is to be raised in Parliament. Already, the London Mayor, Sadiq Khan, has asked for a commission to report on the closure of music and entertainment venues in the capital, many of them closely associated with the London gay scene. There are numerous structural reasons why the urban gay scene is under threat. For many young people used to liberal venues across the board, the notion of a separate gay or trans bar is an alien concept. Some commentators have also suggested that the older LGBT generations, which still use gay venues, have not done themselves any favours by failing to understand their responsibilities to endorse and include younger people.
Drag performer Discharge has been in touch to let us know that the Great Western Burlesque Weekend is coming up from the 15th to the 17th of February at Sports and Social Club on Wollavington Road in Bridgewater. Performers from across the burlesque genre will include Lady Cant and Theodora Rex, amongst many others. Discharge herself will be hosting on several evenings.
LGBT Conservatives, the new network which arose out of the old Tory Party campaign for homosexual equality, has launched a blistering broadside against Liberal Democrat Tim Farron, the former leader of the centrist party, who flip-flopped on issues of sexuality during his time as the party premier. The Daily Telegraph reported late last week that Farron now regrets not saying that same-sex relationships are a sin, something that he revealed is central to his doctrine as an evangelical Christian. LGBT Conservatives tweeted, "News that Lib Dems will say anything to get people to vote for them comes as no surprise. But Tim Farron's disingenuous position on LGBT rights is particularly egregious." They also link to a website called The Fib Dems, which claims to expose lies from the fourth largest party in Parliament.
You've got to love LBC Radio. The national talk station has several presenters that vigorously defend LGBT civil rights from callers who would verbally attack us. James O'Brien was hosting a call-in on the issue of religion and homosexuality in the week, a programme which was designed to allow LGBT Christians to discuss their faith. A hostile caller, identifying himself only as Daniel, phoned in to say that Jesus was clear about homosexuality and that it is forbidden. James O'Brien invited Daniel to tell listeners where Jesus of Nazareth had addressed the issue of homosexuality. Of course, he couldn't, and instead tried to talk about other religious texts. O'Brien kept him on point and kept on asking for the quotes from Jesus. Eventually, after several minutes and much questioning, Daniel gave up and hung up. Theologians are in general agreement that Jesus of Nazareth, who's considered to be the Son of God by Catholic and Protestant Christians alike, did not address the issue during any of his teachings, which is cited by many LGBT Christians as evidence that he was not at all interested in a person's orientation. LBC was originally called the London Broadcasting Company when it opened in October 1973, the first legally authorised commercial radio station on British soil. Now available nationally on DAB Radio, it's branded as Leading Britain's Conversation.
The news site Pink News reports that one of the thundering opponents of same-sex marriage in the UK, the MP Peter Bone, has separated from his wife and is now living with a woman 20 years his younger. Mr. Bone has consistently opposed every gay or transgender equality measure since being elected 12 years ago. He claimed that same-sex marriage would destroy the heterosexual institution of marriage completely. Well, as if to prove the point, he's been committing adultery. One commentator at Pink News website quipped, "Just another casualty of same-sex marriage then. I guess we should feel guilty, but I don't. Instead, I'm drunk with my new evil superpower to destroy straight marriages. Bwahaha."
The BBC's comedy and drama network 4Extra is to transmit an adaptation of More Tales of the City, the second book in Armistead Maupin's rainbow-hued saga of a group of friends and frenemies, gay, straight, transgender, black and white, in the liberal milieu of 1970s San Francisco. The programme will be going out on Sunday evenings on the network, which is audible on DAB Digital Radio, Freeview, Sky, Virgin and other platforms. The sequence of Tales of the City books now goes right up to the present day and involves survival and loss, love and lust, over four decades of social change.
And finally, Bristol Slapstick Festival is an annual review of the rich comedy genre of physical humour that has been part of cinema since its inception around 120 years ago. This week, it was announced that as part of the current festival, there will be a screening of the ever-camp and transgressive Rocky Horror Picture Show on the 27th of January at the Colston Hall. The late evening screening is going to be hosted by none other than the gay icon, Christopher Biggins. Find out more at slapstick.org.uk.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Ivan Jackson.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
I think we're all lucky in that one, aren't we? That's Jason Derulo and Tiptoe.
Jason Derulo.
I tell you,
he's not Christopher Biggins, though, is he? He's not Christopher Biggins.
Ivan's knee is very hard.
That's not my knee. That's my thigh. It's extremely muscular.
Really?
We've got a bit of a shortage of chairs.
I think Steph is like the Princess of Dublin Fondres.
What do you mean?
Yes. The only person who tends to out trump you is Rose, isn't it? She could be quite.
Let's not talk about something.
No,
yes, but hello, Rose.
Rose is just filthy.
You know she's listening, right?
Yeah. All right, Rose. All right.
It's absolutely jam-packed studios. How many have we got in here at the moment?
17.
17.
Oh my God, I didn't stop showing off. You can count above five now.
I know.
Whoa. I'm impressed.
Would you like me to turn the mic off for you?
I
think Steph's mic needs to come off.
I'm very near a throat.
I got Ivan's now.
Yeah, she'll just wing it.
I am back.
So. How's your blood flow?
I'm going a bit numb.
Now, on a serious note, if you have any concerns about the content of today's show, we will make sure that all the info is up on our site next to the podcast. Just go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. So next week, we're talking about racism in sport, aren't we? And homophobia in sport.
Homophobia and racism and the fact that the Rainbow Laces campaign was brought to Bristol a while back. So it should be very, very interesting.
Cool. Yeah. Rainbow Laces.
Anyway, that's it for today's show. But if you want to hear any of it, or if you want any additional info about our guests and today's subjects, head to our home online
at shoutoutradio.lgbt is where you will find all the details, as well as get a chance to listen to lots of other previous shows.
Last week, like we said, Rainbow Laces. I like Rainbow Laces.
Rainbow Laces.
But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.